Every Sunday as we gather together, we love to reflect on what we just sang about. We're going to allow Revelation chapter 5 to show us Christ this morning. John is writing the book of Revelation. God is writing the book of Revelation through John. John is a prisoner on the island of Patmos. He is a prisoner for Jesus. He is old and he is imprisoned because of his testimony of following the Lord. And God gives John a vision of heaven, a vision of the future. And John writes in Revelation chapter 5 these words: "I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book and break its seals or to look into it." John says, "I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it." What is this book that John speaks of? This is the book of the unfolding of future human history, specifically the worst period in all of human history where God will pour out his wrath on the earth dwellers in the great tribulation, which is detailed in chapters 6 through 19 of this book. John is weeping because God is not vindicated. His name is not honored. The entire world blasphemes him and suppresses his truth and rejects his kindness and avoids his love. John is weeping because no one can open this book and commence the judgment of God on the earth. And one of the elders, verse 5, said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold, look, the lion, the one from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals." John, stop weeping. God will have his day. His name will be vindicated, and the one who is able to do it is the King, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, promised in Genesis 49, the one who would come from the seed promise, from whom the scepter would not depart. He would rule the nations with the rod of iron. That one is coming. And he will vindicate God's name. He will bring about God's glory. He will bring about world peace. He will usher in his kingdom. That one can open this book. That one can rush human history forward to his perfect end. And if you think about a lion, consider the fierce beast of the jungle, the king of the jungle, the top one on the food chain. There wasn't a predator that scared a lion. Mighty, strong, regal, powerful, that one is coming. And John looks in verse 6 to look at this lion, and he saw between the throne and the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain. A victim of sacrificial punishment. Lambs were used in the sacrificial system as substitutes, payments for sin. Lambs were not mighty, they were not strong, they were not regal. This lamb was speechless before judgment. This one went silent before his shearers, he went to the slaughter. This was the Lamb of Isaiah 53 that bore the sins of God's people and bore the wrath of God against those sins. You couldn't find any two creatures more strikingly different than a lion and a lamb. And yet, these two creatures are used to describe the one person, the King and the suffering servant, our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The attributes of a lion and the attributes of a lamb are small comparisons to the various attributes we see in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is infinitely high and transcendent, and yet he condescended to infinite lowness. He is great and awesome in his power. And yet he came to suffer at the hands of his creatures. He was holy and sinless and perfect and beautiful. And he was made to bear the sins, all the ugliness and all the filth of his people. He was the just one, and he came to justify the ungodly. This is our Messiah. This is our Savior. Friends, do you know this one? Do you know this Jesus? Have you surrendered to the King? Have you received the benefits of a slaughtered lamb? He came and died on a cross to pay for our sins, to pay for every single sin, past, present, and future, of everyone who would believe in him, so that we could have life, so that we could be new, so that we could have access to God himself, so that we could behold this one's manifold excellencies forever and ever and ever and be thrilled. This one came for his people. Do you know him? Have you been tempted to think that there could be something more desirable in a Savior than what we have in Jesus? Something more desirable in a God than what we have in the one true God? Have you been tempted to substitute lesser things for the adoration of him, the infinite, the glorious, the beautiful one? Friends, he is everything. Whom have I in heaven but him? And on earth, what could I possibly desire besides him? My flesh and my heart may fail, but he is my strength and my portion forever. If you are looking for life, happiness, peace, rightness with God, apart from Jesus, you will never find it. It is only to be found in him. It would be an insult to look elsewhere, and it would be suicidal. Friends, look to Jesus. Run to Jesus. He is the only hope. He is the only hope to give you life that is truly life. And he is the only way to God. If you're here this morning and you know Jesus, we're going to receive a cup of juice, which represents his blood, and a cracker, which represents his broken body, both given for us by God so that we could have direct access to him. Jesus' substitute death on the cross pays for our sin and paves the way for us to know him. You don't have to be a member of Grace Bible Church. You just have to belong to Jesus to partake with us in communion this morning. If you don't yet know Jesus, let me encourage you. Today could be a day of salvation for you. If you see your sin, if you're aware of your need, turn to him. God loves to forgive those who come to him who know that they need forgiveness. He loves to provide for those who recognize that they are destitute, broken, and poor. Come to him, acknowledge your need, and find life in Jesus. If you're not a Christian this morning, you have no desire to be, this communion remembrance that we do is not for you. We would encourage you just to let the juice and let the bread go by you. Friends, this morning, Christians, those of you who know Christ, we're going to take a few moments of silence, an opportunity for you to examine your heart, confess any sin before God, rejoice in the forgiveness that is provided for you in Jesus Christ. And when your heart is prepared, remember him and take the juice and take the bread.